It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
We continue our study now in the book of John. Now, we've spent a couple of sessions, looking at the woman of Samaria. And it's very important that we spent time looking at this event that took place as Christ went through Samaria. Now, in John chapter 4 and verse 39, we see some of the results that came forth as a result of this woman who had gotten saved. And she went into the city of Sychar, and she told the people about Jesus Christ. Verse 39 says, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, 'He told me all that I ever did. Sometimes we hear a preacher preach, the fact is that she was, they make her out to be a harlot, a prostitute, or whatever she may have been, I don't know. And sometimes a preacher will say, well, she got the men of the city because she was well known to the men. Well, I draw to your attention verse 39, where it says that many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him. That would include the women of the city. That would include anyone who was willing to listen to hear about the Savior of the world. Remember, he came to seek and to save those who were lost. Well, in verse 39, many of the people got saved. They believed. And we go on and read in verse 40, where it says, and let's pick up there with that verse. "So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. Once again, as we keep reading, it says, "Then many more believed because of his own word." And verse 42 says, "And said unto the woman, Now we believe." Now these people spoke to the woman who had gone and told these people about Jesus. And they said unto the woman, "Now we believe, not because of thy saying." In other words, not because of your testimony as such. A testimony can be used to bring attention to the saving power of the Lord, but the testimony is not going to save anyone. That's what they're saying here. "And they said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." Well, many of these people believed on the Lord. And so remarkable a success is this. From a single conversation in this place of Samaria, this took place with an individual who was unlikely to be attended to see such results. Many sinners were converted because of this meeting of the Samaritan woman and Christ at the well. Many believed on the testimony of the woman, and many more came to hear and believe because they heard him themselves. You see, we should never get discouraged by doing good in the most uncompromising circumstances. In the most difficult circumstances, we should never get discouraged when we're representing our Lord. We should seize upon every opportunity to talk with sinners on the great subject of their souls. There's nothing more important than a soul of a person, because that soul is going to spend somewhere forever, either in heaven or in hell. Hell is a place of eternal torment where the worm, the Bible says, dieth not. The fire is not quenched. But in heaven, it's totally different. The Bible teaches us that we will have life eternal with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's going to be something that even the human mind at this point cannot comprehend. Now, we get a glimpse of it by reading the Word of God. But once again, our minds cannot conceive of the greatness that God has prepared for them who love Him. But one day we're going to be with our Lord. The Bible says that we don't see it right now, but one day we're going to be like Him because we're going to see Him as He is. Now, we're not going to become little gods, but we're going to see Jesus as He is. We're going to see Him in person. And we see a lot of pictures, a lot of paintings today that try to portray Jesus. They give him certain looks. Whether he looked like that or not, I don't know at this point. That's just a man's idea of what Jesus would look like when you see these paintings and pictures today. But one day we're going to see him. We're going to recognize him for who he is. And we're going to be made like him. In other words, we're going to have a body that never deteriorates, a body that never dies, a body that is going to be forever. And that body is going to be with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We're going to be in heaven forever. Now notice in verse 43 of John chapter 4, it says, "Now after 2 days he departed thence." He left Samaria and went into Galilee. Well, now verse 43, this would tell us that he went into some parts of Galilee, and he did not go into the city of Nazareth. He probably went directly into Cana. And we read that in John chapter 4 and verse 46. Now in verse 44, it says, "For Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country." I suppose that some of the people that we come into contact with, they are hard to reach, we think. And we get in our minds that we can't reach them. Well, some of our own relatives or the people whom we have known for a long time in our place where we live, where we come from, some of those people, we see they're harder to reach, it would seem, than other individuals. Why? Well, they know us, they've seen us, and possibly we've grown up with them. But the old saying is, familiarity breeds contempt. And that means that people get familiar with you, and they just, once again, it's hard for them to believe that something supernatural has taken place. Well, supernatural does take place when a person received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I believe that we can reach our relatives and those people we've grown up with, those people who have seen us throughout our lifetime, once we've trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. Remember, the people of Samaria told the woman, "We didn't get saved because of your words. We got saved because we heard the words of Jesus himself, his own words." And that's what we need to present to the people of this world, not only the people outside of where we live and where we've been born and raised. We need to present Jesus Christ to the people who know us and we've grown up with. It's the Word of God that does the work. We simply foretell. We simply give out the Word of God, and the Lord does the rest. We plant the seed, and prayerfully, that seed, once it's planted, will produce. And I know that the Word of God will not return void. The Bible tells us this. It'll do what it's sent to do. It'll convict the heart of the person who hears the Word of God. And then it's up to them to respond favorably or to reject Jesus Christ. And when I speak to individuals, many times I will say to them, "Would you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior right now?" And many times they'll say, "No, not at this time." And I remind them that they have made a decision. That decision that they make, if they have not received Jesus Christ as Savior, they've decided not to receive him. They've made a decision. They have rejected the Son of God. And I let people know this as I'm speaking to them. And the Word of God bears this out, that once again, they're not simply refusing what I've said. They're refusing what God has said in his Word, that he wants to save them. And one day they will stand before him one way or the other. The Bible says that every knee will bow. Every tongue shall confess that he is God. For some, that's going to be too late, because they'll be standing at the white throne where judgment will be passed upon them. And Jesus will say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." It's too late then. And we need to remind people of that, that they need to come to Jesus right now. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the appointed time. God is long-suffering toward people, but there comes a time when he says, "Okay, it's too late now. Something has happened in their lives. Maybe they die or whatever. It's too late, and they need to be saved right now. Now is the appointed time, right now." is the time to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Well, notice once again that Jesus, I believe, he did not go into Nazareth, but I believe he went into Cana, and we'll see that in verse 46. Notice verse 44 again. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. Verse 45. Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him. Having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. Now, once again, wherever Jesus went, he taught people, he spoke to people, and he let them know that he was the way, the truth, and the life. He let them know that they needed a Savior. And this reminds me of Paul the Apostle. Wherever he went, he failed not to preach and teach Jesus Christ. And these people in John chapter 4 and verse 45, they saw things of Jesus in Jerusalem at the feast. And once again, this reminds me of Paul the Apostle as he would go about. He would go into the temple. He would go and preach to individuals. And some would ask, well, he was a safe person. Why did he go into the temple of the Jews? Well, that was where the people were. He went to where the people were, and he presented Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus did. He went into Jerusalem at the feast, and many people saw him at this feast, and they remembered him. And verse 46 of John 4 says, so Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee. I believe this is where he was headed, and when he left Samaria, he was going into Cana. And remember now, many people had heard him at the feast, and those who did not get saved, they still remembered, and there was still an opportunity for them to believe on Jesus Christ, to receive him as Lord and Savior. John chapter 4 and verse 46 says, so Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. Remember, we read about that, how he was at the wedding, and they needed he turned the water into wine, and that's grape juice. Now, once again, people will argue this until, you know, they really don't understand that Jesus would never have turned water into fermented juice or fermented wine. The Bible is strictly against that. The Bible says that the person is not even to look upon it when it turns aright. In other words, when it's fermented. And I remind you that Jesus cannot lie. God cannot lie. So he would never have gone against his own word and turned water into a fermented juice or a fermented wine, a fermented beverage that these people could drink. No, it was grape juice that he turned this water into. He would never go against his own word, and he is the word. We have the word today, the word of God. And I believe the word of God, once again, is the King James Bible. Well, verse 46, so Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. Now, we're going to stop here, and we're going to pick up next time with verse 46, and we're going to look at this nobleman, and we're going to see what happened to his son. And I pray that if you've never trusted Christ, that you'll trust him as Savior. And if you are saved, I pray that you are giving out the word of God, letting individuals know that they too can have what you have, and that is eternal life through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Tell others about Jesus saves.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.